26. Alternatively, tweet us at Mpumi Ngubeni, at Miss underscore Ndikumana, at Channel Africa One. And we're joined now on the line by the CEO of the Vapor Products Association of South Africa, Asanda Xoyi. Asanda, good afternoon. How are you?
Afternoon, I'm well, and yourself?
Is that how you pronounce your surname?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes,
okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, I understand, Asanda, that you are rather opposed to this this bill that government is seeking to implement on the 1st of June in efforts to regulate the vaping industry, amongst other measures. Tell us why.
So what is currently, it's not even on the table, what has been passed is for excise, so to impose an excise rate on vaping e-liquid for both nicotine-containing and non-nicotine. So the legislative process has unfolded and it has been gazetted, so it is happening, effective on the 1st of June. And why the industry is not happy, obviously, about this imposition is that, one, it will make vaping e-liquid unaffordable for individuals who use the product. In some instances, you're looking at over 100% increase in prices. And we know that with excise, the 100%, it's 100% pass-through rate to consumers. So consumers will be paying more than double for the price of e-liquid. And number two, in terms of the administrative process of the collection of the tax, the industry believes that the time that it has been given to be compliant in terms of applying for the necessary licenses is too short. And we do not believe it is realistic that we will meet that deadline of the 1st of June.
Wow. Now, Asanda, I want to get into the cost implications, right? Obviously, this will see vaping products, both nicotine and non-nicotine containing vaping products, double in terms of costs. What does this then mean for society? And I want to sort of understand the translated experience on the end of the consumer who's using e-cigarettes to sort of quit smoking, so forth and so on.
Yes, I think to underline that, before I answer that, what's important for the listeners to understand is that vaping is a less harmful alternative to smoking. So it is not without risk. However, we know that individuals smoke cigarettes for the nicotine. So in vaping, they get that nicotine in a less harmful form. So that's the harm reduction aspect of it that needs to be taken into account when you compare these two. So the moment you have high prices on the product, we know for a fact that cigarettes are a substitute for vaping products. So when the demand for vaping products decreases, you can expect that the demand for smoking is going to increase. And the danger there for South Africa is that where the increase in smoking rates is not going to be of the legitimate cigarettes. You are looking at an increase in the cigarettes that are illicit. So your cheap cigarettes are actually going to be the biggest benefactors of this excise that has been imposed on vaping products.
Sure. The voice of CEO of Vapor Products Association of South Africa, Asanda Xoyi, joining us on the line this afternoon to help us understand the implications of a smoking tax being imposed on e-cigarettes as well. 20 minutes after 2 p.m. Central African time, Asanda, I want us to take a bit of a breather when we get back more on this conversation.
This is Planting the Seed with Matseko Musito on Channel Africa.
As I understand it, there is plentiful water, if you will, in parts of the northeastern Limpopo. And the pity about this is that it's not necessarily available for the people that live in that part of the South African region. But it is wonderful to see that there is a technology. Murendeni Mapumo joins me on the line. He's an entrepreneur and also in charge of Kusini Water. Murendeni, thank you so much for joining me. I mean, let's unravel that then a bit when it comes to water sciences. Exactly what does that involve?
So 2008, we started working on a project with the biotechnology department where we're turning sunflower seeds and making them as part of our wastewater treatment facility. The undergrad was in chemistry, and then my research then focused a lot on wastewater treatment and then more water treatment later on in my career.
We are reviving the culture in agriculture with Planting the Seed. Every Sunday on Channel Africa. Africa. The Upside, taking the African perspective to fresh levels.
21 minutes after 2 Central African time, we are still in conversation with Asanda Goyi, who is the CEO of the Vapor Product Association of South Africa. Yeah. Look at you trying to get the mic there. Asanda, just before the break, you were talking about, you know, the cigarettes being kind of the biggest winners if this excise bill is passed. But there's, I think, part of the challenge with e-cigarettes is the lack of extensive research proving that it is, you know, indeed a better, healthier alternative to cigarettes, and also proving that, you know, it is a gateway for those who want to exit smoking.
I disagree with that in the sense that, I mean, when you look at global data, there is sufficient data from reputable health organizations across the world. You've got your Public Health England's, Royal College of Physicians, you've got ASH. I can name them. There's quite a lot. And you've got the most important one, which is the Cochrane Library, which is known as the gold standard in medical reviews. And they've come out 2 years in a row to say, now, without a shadow of a doubt, vaping is indeed less harmful than smoking. So that fact is no longer in dispute when you look at the data objectively. But what you do have, and I think from a South African context, is lack of local data. So local data that looks at lived experiences of South Africans. But that does not negate the relevance and importance of the global scientific data. So what we do say is that in the absence of local data, we rely obviously on individuals who will tell their stories, etc. But we cannot say we do not have enough data that backs up the notion that vaping is indeed less harmful than cigarettes. And what's important to note is every time we speak about these two things is that in a perfect world, it would be great for people to not be indulging in vaping or smoking. But we live in an imperfect world. So if people are not going to eliminate what they are addicted to, your best option is to reduce that harm, which is where vaping comes in. And I think it's imperative that we don't lose sight of the harm reduction components that come with vaping.
Asanda, I want to touch base on how do we then curb the culture that's developing because of e-cigarettes. You know, I think that's another thing. In as much as we want to be for the motion of people quitting smoking, we're also seeing the subculture developing where people are just using it for fun. I mean, I know a few people who have e-cigarettes just for the fun of it. You know, and so how do we then speak to that culture? And my biggest concern is not necessarily adults, because that is your choice, right?
Yeah.
It's children.
Yeah.
And how we curb that kind of experience. So talk to me about that front and your thoughts.
And it's an important one that you raise, especially where children are concerned. But I think what we need to understand is the origins of vaping. Vaping was created for adult smokers who are, as I said, looking for a less harmful alternative. But then you cannot run away from what has transpired in other markets where these products were deliberately marketed to young people. And I've always said, I mean, on platforms, that I believe it is a collective responsibility. The industry has a role to play in educating young people, you know, about the dangers of nicotine. So it's not good for young people under the age of 18 to be addicted to any substance, irrespective of whether it's nicotine, same with alcohol, etc. So our call is always a collective one, where we say we play our role as industry, where we take pledges, we do everything we can, but bearing in mind that it is self-regulatory in the absence of a legislative framework. But we rely on communities, we rely on platforms like these, where we should share correct information and discourage young people from using these products. Because you are correct, it is worrying, and we do not want to get young people addicted to nicotine.
And Asanda, you know, what are suggestions then on alternative solutions and safeguarding the sector and consumers now that we find ourselves where we are?
Yes. So as an industry body, we have been quite proactive in the absence of legislation. So we were the ones, as an industry body, who approached, for example, the South African Bureau of Standards to say, let's work on standards to ensure that the products that we manufacture or bring in are of a good quality. So that process is underway. We, again, as an industry, approach the advertising regulatory body to say, let's look at how these products are advertised in mainstream media in South Africa to see whether the language used is such that young people get attracted to it. And what's good about this particular relationship with ARB is that it's outside of the vaping industry. So when people feel that certain promotions on vaping are deliberately targeting young people, we urge them to report it to the advertising regulatory body to say, this is not right, this is not supposed to happen like this. We've also put in place a packaging guideline that says, as vaping members of VIPASA, we will stay away from packaging that seeks to attract young people. So your cartoon characters, things that imitate or show things that kids like your Oreos, your Smarties, all of those things. Let's stay away from those things because they give the impression that we are targeting young people. So we've done quite a bit as an industry body to try meet parents halfway. But as I said, we can't do it by ourselves. You know, we need that reinforcement from platforms like these, from educational things. Government needs to come to the fore as well. But as an industry, we're continuously looking at ways to better improve how we get our products across without affecting young kids.
Sure. Quite a crucial conversation, Asanda. Thank you so much for your time. And joining us on the show and really giving us the thoughts and views of those who are pro vaping and where you stand. I think it's one thing to sort of assume a place in a disposition, and I think sometimes we find ourselves there saying, but you're not looking at the realities. But then when you bring forth the other side of the argument, it kind of finds full circle in the conversation. Again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
The voice of Asanda Ngoi, who is the CEO of Vapor Products Association of South Africa, joining us this afternoon to speak about smoking tax being implemented on e-cigarettes. This bill is set to, it has already been passed, I understand, and it's set to sort of manifest from the 1st of June.
From the 1st of June,
2023. Yeah. I think, you know, here's the twofold element to this conversation. And I think we're sort of stepping into that conversation in the next chat that we're going to be having concerning e-vaping. How do we make e-vaping prescription drugs?
So it was the first time that I was hearing about
that.
I don't know what